issues. Because council only deals really with matters related to the CEO, so we'll have to hear what the update is. But in terms of the court, probably they may not have things on record, I don't know, on file, which is what the SSC may have to deal with. The matter of Miss Kadi. The matter of Miss Kadi, as far as we are concerned on council, there was no disciplinary on Miss Kadi. Yes, so we can hear from them what happened. So the CEO at the time was Miss Kadi. And I'm not sure whether the letter was a disciplinary. What we know is that her contract ended, she had extended it and it ended. On the outreach project, I think we do the best that we can with the partners that we have. And so, and the limited budget. That red was actually, it should have been a green because it was an overachievement, but the CEO will explain why the AG was not satisfied. The work was done, was overachieved, but in terms of the AG, the report was not adequate for the AG. So that will be. We're working with the Minister of Women and Children. We even work with the Department of Basic Education where we can. We have tried to have an MOU with the Ministry of Women. There are some projects that we do with them. Please just elaborate on that. Thank you.
On the Department of Women, last year in particular, we kick-started a formal process where we are working on developing a memorandum of understanding. But you understand those things can take a while, but we do have a working relationship with them and the Commission for Gender Equality as well. So when we do outreach and awareness programs in the different communities, we do work with them in targeting the sectors that they work with all the time in particular. And then the target was achieved, the numbers were achieved. What was not achieved is that we needed to do an evaluation report of those outreach and awareness activities, which was not finalized on time, which is why then what had been achieved then tends to not achieved. And then the question that was raised by Honorable Kanak on content in broadcasters, you'll understand that in terms of our legislation, it's one of the exclusions that are there in terms of the platforms that we cannot regulate. But the Deputy Minister can tell you that we have been advocating for a single content classification system across all platforms in South Africa. One of the things that we always say as FPB is that our classification rating tool is one of its kind in the country that rates content in line with societal values and norms. So if they can lean in on us, particularly looking at the type of content that is coming into the South African market, we can have a greater impact as a Film and Publication Board. So it's one of the things that we are looking at. But I think an important question that you were also raising is the role that creatives have to play in social cohesion. And I think that is a very important conversation that needs to be had by broadcasters and as well as society broadly. Because I know that there's been a conversation on some of the channels whether are creatives bewitched, because it seems like all the storylines are talking about witchcraft. They are talking about they're about murder. The South African society is about ikinsa, it's about a blesser, it's about witchcraft. It's about all those things. Do creatives not have a greater role to play in attaining the society that we want to see as outlined in the NDP? So those are just some of the conversations that I think need to be had. As FPB, we are always willing to participate in those conversations as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. To the first honourable woman's question on page 46. The movement of staff is relatively normative because the big number there is comprised of 10 interns and 4 fixed-term part-time persons brought on board for specific projects. So that skews the numbers. And then with regards to the 3 HR staff members, they are being disciplined. It's consequence management, and it's taking place in the fiscus. So that will be reported next year.
Are we done? The last follow-up.
Thanks, Chair. On the fruitless and wasteful expenditure, the amount that you're reflecting there is settlement for former employees. It does not include legal costs, fees, salaries. It just includes PAYE.
Okay. Come back.
I'm not feeling satisfied with that answer because I want to know why a disciplinary is held a year after the event took place. And it's not as if the parliament publication, the board and the management didn't know of the problem. It was reported in May 2017. It was reported to the 19 May to the CEO. So why only now took steps against the people. They received a legal opinion on the 26th of May 2017. 7 to 9 June, EXCO meetings discussed the payroll error. There's no fruitless and wasteful expenditure because all the money that was paid over, and it was not even, it was a system fault. So on the 12th of June, this report was, it was reported the error to the council. My concern is, in June only, the 6th of the 7th, she only received the letter on the 12th. So she, or the letter was written on the 12th to Felisa. So this entity did know about it. Why wasn't disciplinary actions taken? Because this person was part of the management. She was the shared service executive. Why was this issue? Why did you stand over for a year before you start taking action, and why only now? And it just baffled my mind that you let someone that was part of it, and it was more a system error, that you let someone off the hook that was part of it, and now after years are doing disciplinary action. It doesn't seem fair, and this, I don't want to wait till next year, because we still waiting for last year's reply on the CEO and COO. Those reports also need to come to us. So it's really, we don't really get the feedback that we want. And also, I still believe that it was lied to me in that written question. So I'm not sure who answered that question, but it wasn't properly truthful.
Do you get the conflict or you?
I don't think they can answer. I think it's a contextual question. It's a procedural question. In that at the time, my recollection at the time was that there was no disciplinary on the table as such. There was information on the table at the time, but that is why maybe let's leave it, let's promise to go and investigate properly and write a proper report. Only CEO, we had written an elaborate report and tabled it. I'm not sure what else. I don't know whether there's any other information issues that we have. Yes. On this one of shared services, maybe we should go back and check on file what are the issues and the people who were there at the time. What are the issues? Check. If you can provide us, that would be very useful as well. Thank you.
It's crazy that this entity doesn't have documentation of their own disciplinary. The letter that was written to Ms. Felisa Kari It was withdrawn. That's why there was no disciplinary action. So that's the reason. And that's my concern. Why was it withdrawn after it was written to a person and now a year later to three other people? And there's no, if you can prove that there was wasteful expenditure, if you can put that to the committee. But then also, why didn't you, when this letter was also there, why was it then not then conducted? Because she received the letter and it was withdrawn.
Yeah, maybe.
And with regards to the CEO, we were supposed to meet with the whole of the board, and we never had the opportunity to do that because there were still questions that we as a committee wanted to ask, but we never had the opportunity. Thank you, Chair.
On the first question, because you can't provide anything now, go back, do that, and then you can communicate. And then it be part of the issues that you will start with in the next meeting. But give us that information. Yeah? You wanted to say something?
Yeah, just on the disciplinary hearing of May, I'm not responding to the issues directly, but I'm saying if an activity happens in 2017 May, it is within the financial year, and we are dealing with 17-18. So it will start in 2017 and get reported towards the end of the financial year, which will be in the following year. But what we need to do, so it's not a year later, it must reflect on that financial year in the report of the Auditor General. That's why you see it. But all the CFO has to do is to then give you the details of what then happened. So it must reflect because it happened in that financial year. So I thought that's what you're saying. But it's fine. Let's take the ruling of the chair. Let's allow the SPB to go back, bring in that report, and then be able to deal with the matter.
Okay. What? SPB will go back, compile a report on that question, send it to us, and I was adding that in your next meeting, among the issues that were not finalized today,
yes.
you put it in your report as issues that are, you know, a part of the first item in the report.
Sorry, just one thing. The deputy minister just said that it should be reflecting in the report. Maybe they can just show us where in this annual report that it is there.
This is outside what I've concluded. I'm really not sure what I was talking about now. The ruling or the decision on this, on your question, is that they will bring the report when they come back. Well, they will communicate the report, but it will be part of their report when they come to the committee again. That's what I was saying. Are you okay with that?
I think you just speak misunderstood me. I'm glad for that. I just want to say that disciplinary actions is also reflecting in the annual report, and this specific one is not. So that's why I was asking that they maybe just give an indication on what page that one specifically was.
Actually, disciplinary is actually only starting now. No, not Ms. Kadi. We're talking about disciplinary of the three HR people. Yes. It's only starting now as a result of the report that was tabled.
Is that in the annual report?
Because it is now.
Yes.
Because it is now, and so it will reflect.
It can be in the annual report if it's not in the financial.
Yes.
Can we ask, and you will help us with the information that is needed?
I think we're done with questions, eh? You seem not to be happy on that. But,
I'm happy. I'm just, it really is not, for me, if there's not discrepancy, if people are not treated in the same way, and there might be a witch hunt, I'm not sure, because a lot of things in the film and publications, there's things that really bothers me with decisions taken, and that's all I can say, because I feel for people that are, might be, so that's all I want to say.
So let's wait for the report, and then we again discuss at FPB when we receive the report. FPB, thank you very much. I think we have done with the annual report. We're done with the report. We're done with the report, and we'll wait for your communication. If you must leave, then you can leave. If you want to stay, but remember, yeah, no, the traffic is not yet tight now, but if you are living, then it's okay. BSA, you will start in 2 minutes.
While everybody is taking chairs, maybe FPB chairperson must also indicate that we have circulated guidelines, classification guidelines, and there are visits to provinces. That's for people to start to look at whether the movies, the entertainment, or any other thing are they classified correctly. So we want you as a committee to also participate and say, we want a guy, is this a relevant song? So, those are the things that FPB does. And on the so that process is on.
Okay. So we want a guy.
You guys go to
It's a complaint. It's a common complaint.
Oh, and now
I think we need to supply alternative contact.
Who thought that's a high one? Who got vested in
We are now in first class, so you are in first class, we are in first class.
No. Looks like the tail. The tail of the tail. That's the tail. Oh, no, where is this flight going? The flight is going that way. No.
Thank you, Sano, and thank you to members of the Portfolio Committee. Of course, it has been a long day. Sano, we are with the Brand South Africa, one of our entities. It's one of the stable entities with regard to the board's functionality, with regard to executive appointments and other things, but they are currently faced with a bit of a challenge. The current CEO is undergoing disciplinary hearing, something that we think when it's finalized, the board will come back and update us as the executive authority, but also include just updating the portfolio committee. I thought I must just put it like that so that you are aware that there is this process that is going on. The Brand South Africa is one of the strategic entities that play a most important role both in South Africa and beyond in terms of branding the country and making sure that there's more attraction of investors, including tourists, into the country. And they have been doing very well consecutively. They have just been de-witched. I don't know what happened. They have been clean audit. Now they have regressed, something which is a cause for concern for all of us, and we hope the board is equal to the task. Mayor Koyama and her team have given us assurance that they are aware of the challenges and they'll be able to address them. We went through the AG's report on where the major challenges are around issues of fruitless and wasteful, as well as issues of irregular expenditure. So we are quite aware of what might have sparked some of those things, and the CFO will then develop an action plan that will assist us to correct some of the situation. So we are confident here, because if you look at the AG's report, their internal control systems are very good, their financial health is also very good. If you look at their consequence management, they're also doing fairly well in terms of making sure that everybody accounts for whatever action they have made. So we are confident, Chair, that the acting CEO, Nekoyama, and the team that is with her will be able to present to you what transpired last year, but also show how we are making sure that we correct and bring back DSA back to the clean audit that Batumi Lelikai. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and honorable members. Thank you, DM, for the introduction and the continued support from the executive with Brand South Africa. I think I'd just like to start by saying it's during times like this that Brand SA's role is very significant. But it also means that we become tested and stretched to the fullest, and perhaps that could be some of the reasons that, as DM mentioned, that we see some regression if we look at the past year, because the past year for South Africa has been a very difficult one. It continues to be difficult, and perhaps it has even intensified now. And that's when this entity is called upon to continue being the face of South Africa, not only locally but also internationally. And a discussion that we have amongst ourselves as trustees is whether we are structured appropriately and resourced appropriately to be able to deal with the challenges when they come. So you find that when things are generally smooth sailing, we feel we are fine. And when we then have to step up, that's when maybe we go about matching our plan, and perhaps that then also results in some of the of the laxity in the system. But having said that, I think DM rightfully pointed out that the entity is led by a board that is up to the task. We remain focused on the reason for our existence and for our mandate. The committee will know that Brand South Africa was established with the aim to make a contribution to economic growth, to job creation, to poverty alleviation and social cohesion. And I wish we had underlined and put in great social cohesion because it is what we do that ensures that the country stays together. You know, it is how we play the role of ensuring that each and every South African is an ambassador for South Africa. And for as long as society is not in the mode of being socially aligned, then we find that we are unable to present ourselves. Board members, trustees always have the motto amongst themselves that where we will say we have succeeded is when we have reached a stage where each and every South African of every age, from school age to adults to retired people, will become a brand ambassadors and will play their part in ensuring that South Africa is a country that we are all proud of, that we can then in turn sell to the rest of the world. You know, we act as a catalyst and a link for various initiatives, foreign investment, tourism, trade, and it is seen when we do go out with delegations that are led by either the president or cabinet that we play a critical role in ensuring that all this messaging comes together to present one South Africa. And to that end, as I said, that we understand our mandate very well, which is to manage South Africa's nation brand reputation in order to improve the country's global attractiveness and competitiveness. I would just be repeating what is known to everyone around here, that the current drive in South Africa is about investment, 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 so that we can create jobs, create jobs, create jobs, and make sure that each and every citizen in South Africa has the quality of life that they deserve. And how do we do that? Our strategic intent, which we commonly refer to as a house, and I believe quite appropriate because South Africa indeed is a house. Our country is a house for many people of various racial groups, various age groups, various different social standing, but unite together under one house, which is South Africa.
And that is underpinned for us as trustees by the ability for us to show that we exercise sound governance and organizational effectiveness and efficiency. And that is where the board, the trustees come in ensuring that the foundation is built on sound governance and ensuring that we're an organization that is effective and efficient. The pillars of that house are a proactive and coordinated reputation management of the nation brand. The next pillar is the proactive and coordinated communication of the nation brand, because you have to start by managing the reputation so that you can communicate it and it makes sense. There is no point in communicating a brand that is all tattered. And eventually then marketing that brand. And I emphasize that internally as well as externally, because internally we want to develop the tailor of brand ambassadors, that each and every South African is a proudly South African person and is one that can then say the same about South Africa. And the roof that then obviously keeps all that together is the management of the nation brand, both domestically and internationally. Perhaps I'd just like to introduce the board to yourself, even though you do know them by name, but those pictures at least show you that you've got a few handsome people that are representing South Africa. So representing us, flying the flag. In our dress code and everywhere else. And there you see the chairperson in her 16 years of age, the deputy chairperson and some of the trustees, the acting CEO who is herself a trustee of Brand South Africa. If you turn to the next page, you see the rest of the trustees, some with their caps, this time there aren't any with their dukes, but just demonstrating the diversity, fairly well balanced in terms of gender, racial groups represented, people who are very formal in their professions, but those who also are in the jazz areas and all that. So it just shows that you have a trustee component that can reach out to South Africa, because it represents South Africa. If you had an all-black board, that would have meant we don't understand how other racial groups think. If you had an all-male or an all-female. So I think that in appointing the board via the executive authority, there was an attempt to ensure that all sectors of society are met. Some young people there as well. So we are happy that our board, our trustee body, is representative of South Africa. I think it's a flaw that we don't have people with disabilities, but obviously when the executive authority makes a point, we should probably ensure that that representation is there. So if you can flip over again, and I'll just end really at just overall performance. Even though Deputy Minister points out the fact that we are, if you go into the granular details, we have started to deteriorate, but with the commitment that we will keep that. When the CEO and the CFO report, they will demonstrate that it's not a pattern that will continue. It is things that are stoppable and things that happened once and will not happen again. But overall, we have reached 100% of our performance, which demonstrates that the ship is still sailing, the ship is still on track, and that as trustees, we commit ourselves to ensuring that continues in that regard. And this slide then just shows the goals and lists them in terms of sound governance, high performance, and that we have continued to perform properly in that regard. At this stage, I'm going to hand over to the acting CEO, who will take us through the presentation of the actual performance and also highlight where we could have gone wrong. But maybe before I do that, let me introduce her. This is Thembi Kunene-Msimang, who is also a trustee of SA, but is acting as the CEO during this process of discipline, which the Deputy Minister referred to.
Nadine Thomas we think of her as our fresh out of the box CFO, but not quite. She's no longer as fresh as she was. But is this your first appearance in Parliament?
I think so. Yeah. So that is our CFO.
Probably the previous time when we appeared here, we have had a different CFO and the city Nadine. And Debo Hall is acting corporate services manager. Our corporate services manager left a few months ago, and therefore is acting in that space. But we have patience to go and replace that role, and we are in the last stages of that recruitment process. But it's quite a critical one for us, because that's really where the human resources, all the people that matter are contained. So that is the team that we have brought to Parliament today. We are always lean and mean, Chair. We don't bring too many. We are very conscious of cost saving. And over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, good afternoon. We as the Brand South Africa team, we're very happy and privileged to be here. And being the last on the agenda, Chair, for us is an honor, because we know that it's human nature to actually save the best for last. So thank you for the privilege. So it is not in your slides because we couldn't attach a video, but I thought to start off the discussion in my reporting, just to give to show you the video that our nation's brand video that we play in the various audiences, just to contextualize the discussion that is to follow. If you'll allow me, Chair. And also we've also been cautioned by the team at the other end of the table that our presentation is rather long. Being in the communications and marketing industry, we do tend to be a bit on the verbose side, but we will cut it short, and I will summarize the slides as I go through them. However, please feel free to refer back to any of the slides, because the detail is in there. So as I present, I will summarize accordingly. So I hope the AV is going to work to the level that we want it to be. So we're going to use it.
South Africa is a melting pot of culture and heritage, ripe with possibilities and rich in natural beauty. We are united in our passion for our nation, a passion which enriches our identity. From the majestic Drakensberg mountain range to the subtropical paradise of KwaZulu-Natal and the indigenous flora of the Karoo, our diverse landscape provides limitless tourism opportunities. In promoting this canvas, we are positioned to springboard growth within our investment and immigration sectors. Our solid infrastructure and economic diversity make South Africa one of the leading sources of foreign direct investment in Africa. Our reputation for ease of trade is proof that South Africa is open for business. Gold, diamonds, coal, and platinum continue to fuel the nation's export economy and consolidate South Africa's image as a landscape of plenty and an economy of endless potential. South Africa has made huge strides in sustainable clean energy through development of several wind factories and solar fields nationwide. Dignity, empowerment, and tolerance is at the foundation of our governance principles and practices. And our progressive constitution is upheld as one of the finest examples of human rights protection in the world. And it is our acceptance of difference that strengthens the morality and principles under which South Africa operates. At the heart of it all is our people. Our resilience and vibrancy unleash our will to make things happen and inspire the world. Our goal is to harness our strength and our assets, and to work together to promote a singular, cohesive, and coherent brand image. Brand South Africa is dedicated to providing consistent nation branding that will contribute to South Africa's global competitiveness while creating a positive and unified image of the nation that will inspire all South Africans.
Saving the best for last.
So, Chair, just to start from a research perspective, having seen the National Gallery video, it gives you an indication of the broadness of our one sentence mandate, but it is actually deceptive how broad the areas that we actually had to cover. But from a research perspective, our research largely aims to develop insights and analysis into the performance of the nation brand in South Africa. And from obviously the domestic side and the international side. And to this end, our research tracks a wide variety of indices from a competitiveness perspective, reputation, and other related global studies. So the next slide shows you the kind of indicators that we track. From a competitiveness perspective, and some of these studies you will be familiar with and have come across them, but this is what we subscribe to, and we keep our eye on the board to make sure that we are aware and alive to how competitive we are. So from a competitiveness perspective, we have the World Economic Forum Global Competitiveness Report, and then the IMD Competitiveness Report. And from a governance, economic, and business environment-related studies, we track the Ibrahim Index of African Governance, Transparency International, the World Bank Ease of Doing Business Economic Freedom Indicators, OECD Country Reports, and the Good Country Index. The list does not end there. From a human development and environment perspective, we track the UN Development Program Human Development Index, the climate score from a green perspective. And the core of our measure and how we measure our competitiveness is basically the studies that track, the indices that track the actual reputation, which is the Nation Brand Index and the City Brand Index. From a Nation Brand Index, we have adopted as an organization the Arnold Ropa Nation Brand Index, which basically is a survey that's on people's perception of the country across six core areas. And these areas are summarized as follows. From an investment and immigration perspective, from an export perspective, people, culture, governance, and tourism. And this is the reason why you would have seen our Nation Brand video shows images and the development and the robustness and the maturity of all of these sectors, because that is for us key. By way of summary, Chair, if you allow me, I'll just go through the slides that just mention the kind of indices. We do track the Good Country Index, and here it's very interesting to note that from a Good Country Index 2017, South Africa came fourth when it came to sustainable economic opportunity being the operative word here, human participation and human rights, safety, rule of law, and human development, we came out as number 8. What is interesting with the Nation Brand Index, though, is that we ranked 38 out of 50 countries. And at the end of the day, our international standing remains stable. And from an African perspective on the continent, we outperform countries such as Nigeria and Kenya. And by way of interest, from an international perspective, we outperform countries such as Turkey, Egypt, and Indonesia. From a City Brand Index, Cape Town is ranked 43 out of 50 cities that are measured. And for South Africa, that is the top city compared to the other cities. And followed by Johannesburg, who comes out 44th, and then followed by Etegwin, who comes out at number 46. The Transparency International, following the year where, corruption dominated the headline news, and it was for us some comfort that our perception score remained stable, where we moved from 45 to 43. From a South African competitiveness perspective, we conduct various forums over the year, and this year there were 3 South African competitiveness forum interventions. that we embarked on. The first one was basically getting various consultants and, consultations with various stakeholders to get together in the room and discuss the credit rating downgrade and its implications for the national brand reputation, and to then discuss innovative ways in which we can manage the reputation brand. Secondly, we then got another intervention where we got exporters and multinational and the role that they play in shaping the nation brand in the international market specifically. And then lastly, the mining sector was also consulted, and the issue of the nation brand in the context of mining was discussed with them. Chair, what is important for us also is the domestic perception study. Now, this study helps us to understand the trends and perceptions among South Africans, among ourselves, and how this impacts on our pride, on our patriotism, and obviously on the nation brand itself and profiling and positioning. Brand FA, we've appointed a new service provider, and it's this, yeah? And this has provided us with an opportunity to review and expand the project so that we can get more nuanced reporting from our side. And we see this also as an opportunity to adopt a new model which includes both the quantitative and qualitative elements of the study. At the end of the day, this study delivers over 6,000 reports, which is really a lot of detail. And all of these research reports are available. All you have to do is just ask. And then we also track nation pride from a nation pride perspective. This is on the domestic perception study. From a nation pride perspective, it is most interesting that the top three comments is the most relevant for us towards the nation brand is that when people say the nation pride, they are proud to be South African compared to other places. They are proud of South Africa compared to other places. They are proud of our historical achievements, reconciliation and natural beauty, and of course, art, science, and sports, which at this point I'd like to pause Deputy Minister and say that's a relevant measure, because this is the reason why we are now having the National Brand Forum actually taking place tomorrow, and the theme is actually showcasing our art and sports achievements and how they impact on the nation brand. So we look forward to the deliberations of the various stakeholders tomorrow. It's being held at the IGC. The next construct really has to do with social cohesion, which we also measure, active citizenship, which is a very critical element in our building a very strong nation brand. The South Africa Inc. project. This is a project that aims to develop deeper insights and perceptions of South Africa in international markets. Compared to the domestic perception study, which focuses largely on the domestic side, the SA Inc. focuses on the outside. Notable interventions for us this during the year under review was in the Asian markets, where there was a major opportunity for expansion of sources for FDI, foreign direct investment, trade partnerships, and within South Africa. In South Africa, we supported the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services at the 2017 after lunch, one does get to be a bit dyslexic. Then from an international investor perspective, Chair, you will note that on the bottom right, I hope you can read the numbers there, that the European continent, basically the environment there was investor concerns increased due to perceptions on the internal political situation within the country, but within the BRICS members, we show a steady improvement in terms of investor perception. And then this overall country reputation index. It is of interest to know that within Africa, we have a better reputation amongst Africans as compared to other nationalities. So that is why Africa, we're scoring a perception and a reputation perception of 69 compared to, for example, total Europe, where we're scoring at 11. from a marketing perspective, the marketing department, we have this program called Say Your Part, which I hope members are now familiar with. This is a project whose main objective really is to inspire, profile, and encourage South Africans to become active citizens and to contribute towards building social cohesion. And the program really speaks to national pride, patriotism, and social cohesion. We have a Play Your Part series that continues to play on SABC2, where we profile really ordinary people doing extraordinary things within the community, just showing that it's actually possible to build the society. We've reached, in the year under review, 21 million audiences through the various channels that we use to publish the Play Your Part. And at the end of the day, there's over 200 ordinary South Africans that have contributed immensely in the development of their communities and have been recognized in PYP ambassadors as volunteers. It's important also to note that we are an award-winning organization. Our adverts won the various awards. We have Play Your Part radio adverts that promote radio safety. We won a Gold Lorry Award as well as the Pandorian. So when it comes to constitutional awareness and constitutionalism, this remains another key pillar for our activating chain. We engaged with the community in Hamburg in collaboration with the award-winning web film producer called Iman Christian to inspire constitutionalism, tolerance, and constructive expressions among the youth who at times seem to be misguided. We've also collaborated with the Mbapa Heritage Program in the Eastern Cape, and the event really included a talk on identity and constitution, as well as cultural and traditional talent shows, and there was an estimated number of 120 community members that attended. We have other programs, I won't go into details, but we had a human rights program that we implemented, and the Basha Uhuru program, which is actually very interesting because this one inspired the youth through us to express how they experience freedom, which was a really interesting project. In terms of the constitutional awareness web films, Chair, if you will just allow me, I think to just indicate to you the level of not just creativity but inspiration that this advert on constitutional awareness garnered. I'd like to show you the advert that actually won at the Lorry, if I may.
Christian, and I'm backed by my right to freedom of expression. prosecution for having my back.
Honourable members, that advert, given its creativity and the very unusual twist, because the story build-up shows all the problems that you actually mentioned during the presentation by the film board, because it just highlights all of the issues that plague our societies, and that's the reality. So the idea was, how do we then take that troubled narrative and turn it into and inspire people to actually rise up and be proudly South African? So here's somebody who actually says, I had a choice, and this is a choice that I made, and the shooting that I prefer is the camera shooting, and to capture the stories, the unique, very unique and South African and truly South African stories of our communities. And for that, we won the Louis. So we're very proud of that, and getting industry recognition in how we virtually also address a very difficult message to say, at the end of the day, that's the reality of our community. So how do we then capture it in an inspiring way? So that we will continue to be working with Imran. He's a very creative guy. So from a communications perspective, which is another element of the work that we do, obviously there's domestic and international activations that we embarked on. From international events and platforms, these included WEF, Africa and WEF Davos, BRICS 2018, ITU, Mahini Indaba, and from a domestic perspective, obviously the various days of significance, which for us remain the single biggest platform for us to activate and inspire the citizens in the country. And then we have content and communication program from the U.S. market. I will just skip, I will just fly through it, but we have a major relationship with them and a partnership using their foreign policy magazine and foreign policy group. There is some digital activation that they do annually and also print. From the U.K. market is a similar story. We have a newsletter that really has a solid subscriber base of 4,000. Just over 4,000. We acknowledge that for the UK, that's a rather low number for a subscription base, but we must also consider that we actually compete with quite a lot of other very high-end, high-gloss produced magazine and publications. At the end of the day, this is what we, as the brand South Africa, generated content. It's a high number if you consider that context. Similarly, we've got thousands of followers from a digital perspective, and including on Facebook, we engage, because again, digital marketing is the best we can do out of country, given the limited budget that we have. And through MailChimp, what is interesting here with this MailChimp report, MailChimp is an app that basically helps you to measure how many audiences you've reached, but the MailChimp report, you will note that it indicates that we have an average of 24% of open rate, when people actually stop on a magazine, click and open and start reading. And the industry average is actually 15%. So for us, we think we're doing very well there. China has been a very interesting one, but there's various relationships that are being developed. And we have an acting manager there that is actually now going to be based from South Africa, and he will travel across as and when there's relevant activations that need to be implemented over there. The key thing I can mention is the unique relationship and collaboration we have with Mapo Radio. This is a Beijing-based podcast radio, which is over the internet. And it features a lot of South African artists, and we showcase them to the Chinese audience. And it is aired through what is called the Easy FM and through their official website as well. Now, Mapo is a non-profit radio organization and has been in operation since 2009 with a community of just over 320,000, which is a large community for an internet radio station.
But in China, the population is quite large, so those numbers are small for them, but this is huge for us. This is big news for us. So in terms of media engagement, again, you know, there's a lot that I can report on, but for us, what I wanted to just highlight is the media tours that we activated for this year for the domestic media. And then, of course, we hosted also international media tours, particularly covering the CEO network reception with influencers in the South African consulate offices, as well as journalists journalists and media houses in China. And the large issues really responded to during these domestic and international media tours during the period under review or being reported on were as follows. You know, the passing of Brazil Masekela, the resignation of the president, the welcoming of Cyril Ramaphosa, President Zuma, the welcoming of President Cyril Ramaphosa, the strength of the South African reputation, which is also for us remains a big aspect that we're really keeping our fingers on the pulse of. And of course, the World Economic Forum. We do have various media partnerships, the details of the partnership we can share upon request, but from BBC to obviously SAFM, Time, and FTI Consulting, which is our PR and media agency. CNBC network sessions happen on a regular basis because they carry quite a lot of our investment stories for the country. So under the in the year under review, there was one such networking session. Stakeholder relationship, again, a very important area and department for us. You know, Brands South Africa contributes towards promoting pride, patriotism, as I mentioned, through the celebration of various national days. And during the fiscal period, the following were commemorated in various ways, from Youth Day, Africa Month, DSCOP, Service Month. And in promoting the nation brand, it is important for us to be visible in international markets. And it is during this period we exhibited and were promoted and were visible in various events around the world, from the Toronto Film Festival to the City Nations Play, Africa Gathering 2017 in New York, etc., etc. We also offer a brand training chair, which we would love to offer. It takes place in a form of a masterclass. We would like to offer that to the members in any one day when you're all free and available. And basically, this is a masterclass that shows you and familiarizes a person with the various elements of the brand and the nation brand, and to educate stakeholders in the nuances of communicating a national brand in the various platforms. We do conduct this for what we call GSA, which is the Global South African Program. And again, the Global South Africans, these are South Africans that are living abroad, or basically in the diaspora. And during the year under review, those were the events that were hosted, such as the Rabbi Seventh Dinner with Blaise Bocquet, Heritage Day celebrations in Dubai, the Mandela Legacy celebrations in Washington, etc. This is some pictures from some of the activations, the Global South African Activation in Dubai, at the Dubai Opera, and as well as in Abu Dhabi. I think this one here, we want to highlight the, this is the Ready to Read program, which was a very successful intervention as well with some of the stakeholders, again, in encouraging collaborations with stakeholders. We do form also very successful collaborations and engagements with state institutions. Various state institutions that we work with. Civil society, also a key stakeholder. We again the list of events and collaboration activations, coordinated and implemented in-market activations. So with Brands South Africa, we collaborated with National Treasury and GCIS to implement an integrated communication, marketing, and stakeholder engagement program for WEF Davos. Again, the objective there was to position the nation brand in a very positive manner and to highlight the strength of the country's institution and our maturing democracy. This is again a video that shows from, because I've just spoken about West Davos, just to again, give you the vivid image in your mind, the kind of messaging that we outline out there. So this is a campaign that we call CEO's Knows. We've interviewed, I think at this point we're sitting at 200 interviews, different CEOs, heads of institutions, who in their own way, in what they do and how they do, actually impact on the nation brand. So this is a kind of, just a 2-minute clip, just to show the kind of messaging that we play all over the world whenever we get a chance to start.
We are in the communication.
We're really proud of the way the JSE leads by example. Here we are, a world-class financial market in a developing economy, something that takes many of our international clients by quite considerable surprise. People may not know that the JSE is in fact one of the world's top 20 equity markets. It's one of the world's top 10 derivative markets and one of the world's top 5 bond markets. We have world-class systems, we have world-class regulations. It's really an extraordinary place where we can crowd in international and local investors to make this country something very special. When foreign investors have come to talk to us recently, they started out with the first question being, is the political change for real? And what we were able to tell them is that that change has imbued our people with a real sense of hope and optimism. And they ask about the rule of law. They ask about whether or not we all respect their rights. And of course we can say we have one of the world's most respected constitutions and one of the world's most respected judiciaries. That's an enormity, what we think we have. This country is the most extraordinary place, the very defeat that you wake up to every single day. I'm inspired by the diversity that we have as a competitive advantage in this country.
Chair, this is all from my side, but that slide, that short video for us, the message to the committee is just to show you that the best way to market yourself is not necessarily for you to talk about yourself, is to have ambassadors that talk about you. And there is no better program than to actually have CEOs of the large entities in South Africa doing exactly that, and that is the program. I will hand over now to my colleague Nadine Thomas, the Chief Financial Officer.
No, no, I'll take a train in the mute. It must be half time of focus, that is very okay.
Thank you, Acting CEO. Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, honorable members. To fund all this wonderful work that we are doing and all the lovely visuals, we have a budget of 194 million. So now, honorable Chair, we're down to the rand and cents. The screen, the slide on the screen is a snapshot of our financial statements for the 2017-2018 financial year. As you know, our financial statements are compiled on the accrual basis, but our budget is compiled on the cash basis. So we've given you the comparison there and how we fared against our budget. In terms of our revenue had exceeded our budget in terms of cash by 4% and exceeded our year-to-date actual by 8%. This was largely because of additional income that we had received from partnerships with the DTI for the South African Premier Business Awards, income that we had received from investments, that is investing our surplus cash, and that had contributed to that increase. Our total expenditure had increased by 30% from last year, And that is largely because of the International Investor Perception Study that our acting CEO has spoken about, all the research work that was done, as well as the Play Your Part activations that was produced on SABC2 that the acting CEO highlighted, as well as the accruals that we had realized for that year, relating to some of the prepayments over the previous financial years. In terms of cash, we marginally exceeded our budget by 8%, and as a result, we had a surplus of 5.6 million. This is largely due to that additional income that I have spoken about. Although a deficit was reported in our financial statements, that deficit was not a cash deficit. It was an accounting deficit. We had a cash surplus of 5.6. In terms of current assets, that had decreased largely because of the prepayments that I just mentioned that were now recognized, and our drive is to prevent prepayments going forward. However, subject to the industry that we are in, certain media houses want prepayment of advertisements, failing which those advertisements will not air. Non-current assets, we currently implementing an ERP system, so our intangible assets had increased from prior years, so that's why there was a 44% increase in non-current assets. Our current liabilities just increased by 20% from the prior year, and that was largely because of accruals that we had recognized in the 2017-2018 financial year. Although liquidity ratios had dropped from 2.6:1 to 1.6:1, we are fairly stable and we are not in the red. Our cash flows are still positive and we're still operating fairly well financially. Our cash flows, as you can see at the bottom of the table, are all positive, and we don't envisage that to change in the near future. The next slide just summarizes exactly what I said, so I won't go through that. In terms of our total revenue, as I've mentioned, we had income from other partnerships that was 5.5 million, and where we had received 750,000 for West of Oz, as the acting CEO had mentioned, and you saw the slides, and the South African Premier Business Awards, where 4.7 million was given to us by the DTI. That had contributed to that additional income, and where the total income that we had realized was 201 million. In terms of our expenditure, we did realize savings in employee-related costs, and this is mainly because of the vacancies that we had during the year. This the savings were quite marginal, 3.7%, so we didn't have a huge impact. We did see that our brand communication and reputation costs had increased. As I initially mentioned, expenditure as a whole had increased by 30% from the prior year. And as mentioned, it was mainly because of the International Investor Perception Studies, the Player Part activations, and the media buy that we were making for all the ads that you can see. So those were some of our biggest expenditures. The Deputy Minister did mention that we did have a regression. It was a bit difficult for us to swallow, but we're very sad to say that, yes, Honourable Chair, there was a regression. We received an unqualified audit opinion with other matters. I must state that our financial statements had no material misstatements, so the regression was not the result of material misstatements of the financial statements, but rather because of non-compliance with laws and regulations. What had happened is that there was a concern with a particular tender, and our audit committee had requested that the AG audit that particular tender, and there were some irregularities that were found, and that then resulted in the non-compliance that was reported. That tender, by the way, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, happened in October 2014. So it was something that happened in prior years that affected our current year. That was the main cause of the regression. There were other irregularities, like deviations. They were not material enough, but because of that one tender, the materiality of the other deviations had then become a factor. In terms of our predetermined objectives, Program 2 and Program 3, which is our brand communication and marketing division, that was unqualified. In terms of our findings that are detailed on the screen, we basically, in our entire management report, had 9 findings. And that is the status of where we are currently in terms of rectifying those 9 findings. So the deviations that I just mentioned were particularly with media houses, media partnerships, the CNN, CNBC, etc., and other radio stations, where approval for the deviations was granted by the accounting officer, but should have been done by National Treasury as a single source procurement. They were done as a sole source procurement. Currently, we're in the process of writing to National Treasury, or it is already with National Treasury, for us to try to rectify that going forward. The tender, as I said, happened in 2014. That had gone. That problem currently no longer exists. The other matters that were reported in our management report, the one was a provision for a doubtful debt. It was a 2,000 rand for a staff debt. It was minor, no adjustments were made, and the error was rectified internally. A deposit refund, there was no adjustments made. This could have been a possible misstatement, the AG said, and left it in our management report for future reference, so that this deposit could have been correctly done. This happened in the 2016 financial year and had an impact on the 2018 financial year. The presentation of the statements of comprehensive income, here there was just an interpretation issue of the different standards. There was no misstatement, and we had complied with how the AG had interpreted the standard. It was not necessarily a whole deviation from the standard. The non-disclosure of the related party transaction, here the AG had requested us to put one line in, which we did. It's not real a requirement of any draft standard, but we did do that, and it remained the finding for us to ensure that we comply with what the AG would require going forward. The fairness of the evaluation of a tender, here there was no impact on the tender. The tender still remained valid, and there was no irregularity. However, going forward, we were just asked to make sure that our evaluation criteria was crystal clear, which we have now done. In terms of the performance information, here we did have a few issues. Our annual performance report did not align 100% to our POE. We had rectified that, and currently we are putting measures in place to ensure that we don't have a repetition of that finding. So that, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, were our findings in a nutshell, and that's really all. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. That is the end of our presentation, and we are open to questions now.
Are you ready? Don't you want a 5-minute break?
Chair, I can just
do you have a question?
No, I just want to commend them on the work. I think they're doing a great job, even though we still the best nation brand in Africa, even though we dropped with 7%. And Nigeria is on our heels with growing with 6%. But I think external matters is also contributing. And as an entity, the work that they're doing, you're doing a great job. And it's, what impressed me is the fact that you already started working on the findings of the AG. And that actually says a lot. And I am curious, I was curious about one or two things, but I'm not going to ask those questions today.
any other question? Well, okay.
Now, Chair, I think we can only comment BSA, and I'm sure if they can keep it like this, in marketing the country in particular, because I think you are doing well, but so to me, really, there are no questions. Your report is clean, and especially as the colleague has said, you are already started to work. It means you go back to clean audit. That's all we want.
The last time I traveled abroad, the first thing that I showed in our embassy material from South Africa. And I was in touch one time. I was in Lusaka. And then in our embassy there, I was impressed because the material that was there was from South Africa, but mainly from Nepal. And I'm writing this so that I know there is collaboration between PSA and our foreign missions. Our guides or our ambassadors or whatever status, we have to influence them so that they keep material right across the country, not material from Eastern Cape because I'm from East London. So it must be, at that time, the person was from a particular province. It's not only your call, but also international relations. So that, because not only us visiting the embassies, the South Africans, people from the world, they do that. Well, thank you very much for the presentation, Chair of the Board. I think there are no questions from the members, except to commend you on what you are doing. And don't worry, my sister. UTI is correct. If you speak French or Portuguese, Spanish, you started from the other side, so don't worry about that. No questions, Chair of the Board. So that we can adjourn.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the commending and the support. When you mentioned the foreign missions and material that comes from South Africa. Just an anecdote on the recent UN General Council where a government department had ordered scarves to hand out to any function. And Minister Rob Davis was given a scarf, and when he opened it, it said made in China. So he refused to wear it, but he mistakenly thought that SA had arranged those. So we disassociated ourselves from them. They had been done by the department directly. Our material was still en route because of just some miscommunication. So even during the UN General Council, all the Brand SA material was made in South Africa. And it's a point that we emphasize, and we ensure that the suppliers that we use are compliant. And we even go a level further that it might be from SMEs, co-ops, and all those who make that. So it would be good for the from your offices to also instill that message to other to government departments and everyone that it actually works against us when government departments are ordering things that are made in China. But thank you very much. Continue being ready to serve and being ambassadors of the South African
plan. Well, thank you very much. Well done, Chair. While the end is not here. Team Brand South Africa, well done. Make us proud all the time. Thank you very much, the meeting of the Chair.
I'm going to go to the next one.
I'm going to go to the next one.